Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies like CBD can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back. I have Dr. Mike Van Thalen here with me today, again returning. Dr. Mike is a best-selling author, TEDx speaker, a Olympian coach, entrepreneur, wears many hats. I'm so excited to have him back on the show today. Welcome, Dr. Mike.
Thanks for having me again, Courtney. Always a pleasure.
I'm so excited to dive into what we're about to talk about. I know the last time we chatted, we talked a lot about biohacking and the environment and toxins and how to be optimal in our health and wellness journeys. But today we're taking it even deeper, down to the breath. What's been cooking with you since last time we talked with your practice and your patients?
Yeah, just keeping moving forward, Courtney. So yes, I was always a recognized biohacker, upgrading the body, peak performance and the whole nine yards. But what I realized not too long ago is that when it comes to that, we need to basically, you know, upgrade the mind is number one, more important, and especially increasing our level of consciousness. Albert Einstein said it, we cannot fix a problem with the same frequency that it was created at, right? So even when we talk about physical disease, we got to look at that differently because we know that conventional medicine doesn't work and that many times it's just, you know, symptoms that we're trying to mask or buying ourselves time, but nothing cured, not in the conventional or standard model that we have today. So, but when we look at it from an energy point of view, when we have a physical expression, a disease, a symptom, instead of asking ourselves, how do we fight this? We should ask ourselves, what is it telling us? And what's it telling us that we're operating at a very low level of frequency or consciousness. And the only way to actually, get rid of that cancer or that neurodegenerative disease or that virus is to, you know, increase our consciousness. And a good example was COVID, right? Because, you know, the majority of us, 85% of us lived in fear, right? Fear of a virus, but that's because we're at a low level of consciousness. If we live at a high level of consciousness, then we see everything as a, you know, collective. And when we see that as a collective, our collective consciousness, then that virus actually would be there living in symbiosis with us. And it's there to give us an upgrade or to increase our human evolutionary spiral, or whatever it may be. And it wouldn't harm us. But in order for it not to harm us, just like a cancer, we need to operate at a high level of consciousness. So since then, I've been doing kind of shifting from upgrading the body to upgrading the mind and helping people release emotions, reset their nervous system, and increase that level of consciousness, because that's where, you know, the true healing lies, Courtney.
I agree so much with this. And I know it's like I dabble. I know enough to be dangerous, but you are like an expert here. So I want you to dive in, like talk about, like when you talk about frequencies, can you explain to the listeners, explain the levels of consciousness? What does that mean? What is surface level? What's actually going on? And when it comes to frequencies, what does that mean where like my frequency versus the frequency of this plant sitting next to me? Like, what does all of that mean?
No, it's a good question. You know, first of all, we got to understand that, you know, if I ask people, how many languages do you speak? Most Americans say one, right? Some say two, three. But what they forget is that we have this universal language, which is emotions. If I do this, everybody knows I'm happy. If I do the opposite, Everybody knows I'm sad. If I do this, everybody knows I'm frustrated and angry. And it's a universal language. Even if you go to China, people can read your emotions. And if you actually are intuitive, meaning if you are at a high level of consciousness, you can feel not just by facial expressions, but you feel the radiation, the electromagnetic frequency coming into your environment, and you can vibe exactly what's going on. And if you know intuitive people around you, you know they can feel the room, they can know exactly what's going on. And that's basically that level of consciousness. Now, Dr. David Hawkins actually made a scale, and people can look it up. It's the scale or the map of consciousness by Dr. Hawkins. And so what they did, it's a scale of emotional intelligence. We got IQ, which is your mental intelligence, but you also have emotional intelligence, EQ. But any emotion, we can actually objectively measure each frequency because it's an electromagnetic frequency emitting from our body. And so in those different states, what I did, he measured the actual frequency and he made a scale from 0 to 1,000, right? And so anywhere from the lowest frequency to the highest frequency. Now the lowest is shame and guilt, and the highest is peace and enlightenment, right? And so what we learned is that on that scale, 0 to 1,000, 85% of us operate at 200 or below, which is again shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, frustration, anger. That's where we operate as a collective. Now, only 15% of us operate above that 200. That's where we have courage, neutrality, acceptance, reason, love. Love is at the 500 mark, etc. So our conscious collectiveness right now is operating in the fear, in the comparison kind of realm, which is very low. And that's why we have all these problems on the planet, right? Now, the good news is that if 1% of our population, which ends up being 80 million people, raises their consciousness, it can shift our collective consciousness. So that's the good news. And that's why I'm here, getting people to become aware and increase their consciousness. Now, the average person, and these are just all numbers that are interesting, the average person raises consciousness only 5 points in a lifetime. And that's because we're all stuck in survival loops and we don't know how to get out of those. So we're always operating at that same frequency. And we only can create at the frequency we operate. For example, if we operate at a frequency of, guilt and fear and shame, then everything that we create, relationships, business, anything that we create will be created at that level, right? And so that's kind of the problem. So if we want to get out of that, we need to increase that level of consciousness. The level of consciousness also has a lot to do with the ability of us to accept diversity. At higher levels of consciousness, again, we see everything as equal. For example, if we reach the level of 500, which is love, that means that we can love every creature, every human being, 8 billion of us, every creature, every plant equally, because our heart at that point will be limitless. It will be ecological, right? But we need to get to that 500. And then we can accept diversity. And that's what our current world is trying to do, is separate us, right? And black or white or blue and red in this country, right? It's the separation. And so, it's the same with fighting a system, right? People always want to fight a system, but we cannot change a system if we fight it with the same frequency, anger, frustration. We cannot change it. We're never going to win. The only way to haul over a bad system is create a new system at a much higher frequency to make the old one obsolete, right? And that's what we're doing as a collective. So that's the levels of consciousness. And so most of us are operating below 200, and my job is to create awareness and get people, having them feel something, whether that's an emotional release or whether become aware of something bigger, their higher self, source, God, whatever they want to call it, and then educate them on this stuff. So that's what I've been up to, mostly with breath work, because breath work is the cheapest and most effective way to do whatever that we need to do in order to, raise that awareness, or to, I would think, things like the laws of detachment. If we work on those laws, we can increase our level of consciousness by much more than 5 points in the life that we go 50, 100, 200, even if we start working on those.
So that's something I want to dive into as well, the laws of detachment. So this is something that's very new to me, and I feel like one time you see something and then you start, how one thing you see on your social media, scroll, and then you see it 800 times and it just keeps popping up, are the laws of detachment. And what I'm seeing is different attachment styles in relationships and what that means. And how does this apply to that? Like, what are the laws of attachment and how do they apply? I mean, the first part of the question are what are the laws of detachment? And then kind of like, how do we apply them to our relationships with people, whether it's in a love relationship or family, friends? Like, what does that mean?
Well, I think we got to separate a few things. We just talked about level of consciousness, which is great. But what I want to do to introduce people to the laws of detachment is make them understand that as a child, between the years 0 and 7, that's where we create patterns. And that's where we create our character and our beliefs. But it's all based on, what we get from our environment. For example, elephants and leatherback turtles. They have the highest EQ, emotional intelligence. They vibrate at the highest level. Think about the leatherback turtle. It swims thousands of miles, goes on the beach, walks and makes its way all the way up on the beach, makes a big hole, lays a few hundred eggs, and leaves. It doesn't wait till they hey, little baby, right? Because they have that communication without being physically present. They know what to do. Now, humans are the worst when it comes to that because it takes us, quote unquote, 18 years to mature. But what it means is that as humans and infants and childs, we are dependent on others, mostly our parents and teachers and environment, to basically mature, to build what I call our EQ, emotional intelligence, but also our toroidal field, which is the energy that comes from us. And so we need, we need many things, and often those things are missing. And when those things are missing, we're going to chase those things as a drug. And that's why people, many times, we become our parents or we marry our parents. And many times that's true because whatever we miss, we chase during our life, whether that's acceptance, whether that's affection, and the list goes on. So now we create an attachment style in our relationships, right? Attachment style is how we show up in our relationship, and it all has to do with our emotional intelligence and what we miss in life. And so there's four main different attachment styles, and there's some subcategories. And we're not going to go in those today because that's maybe for another time, but people can look it up, the attachment style. So now we're going to kind of do a reverse engineering based on how people show up today, what their triggers are, because many times it's like, the woman wants to talk about emotions, and as soon as the word emotion or how do you feeling comes up into a man, he just shuts down because it's a trigger, right? Because he never, for example, he never got the tools to express their emotions or to deal with emotions. So that's just an example. So we have different attachment styles, but they usually come from our childhood. And that's how we now have triggers, and that's how we behave, and that's how we react in certain situations. But when it comes to the laws of detachment, which is the opposite of attachment, I think those are important if we want to raise that level of consciousness. So we can go through them. There's actually six laws. And so these are laws of what I call leveling up, right? Is increasing your level of consciousness. So the first one is allowing others to be who they are, right? So if we judge other people, right, then we are operating at a very low frequency again on the Hawkins scale, right? So what we need to learn is to not control or trying to fix other people because we're not doing it for them. The reason we try to control and fix other people is so that we feel safe, even as a parent. And so through breathwork and neurosystem regulation, we can basically control that, or basically not control others and let them be who they are, right? So I just talked about the diversity. It's almost like, the analogy I like to use when I teach this workshop is like freshwater fish and saltwater fish, right? So if I'm a saltwater fish and I live in the collective, not the collective consciousness, but the consciousness of Mother Nature, which is high, then I don't judge the freshwater fish. I understand that the freshwater fish has its function, has its place on this planet. And I accept it 100%. I don't just judge it. I don't want to control the freshwater fish, but I'm a saltwater fish. I'm not just going to swim in freshwater because that wouldn't be good for me, right? And that's kind of a little bit, again, not controlling or trying to fix others. So that's the law of detachment number one. The second one is allowing yourself to be who you are. And I think that's probably one of the more important ones, because finding your authentic self will give a leap in your conscious awareness. And so what we need to do is, because it's a fast track to it, we need to connect with our true self, because based on the survival loops that are running in the subconscious mind, again, we are wearing masks. We are chasing some kind of a drug, whether that's acceptance or whatever that may be. And so we, most of us, don't know who we truly are. And with breath work, we can get into that subconscious mind. We can take those masks off by releasing our emotions and by connecting with our true self, our higher self. And that's how we get rid of conditioning, especially in this society, get rid of masks. And that's how we're finally starting to know who we truly are. And that's probably the biggest step that you can make in rising your level of awareness of consciousness. The third one is called don't force situations, right? So if we let go of control, everything that we do, if we let go of control, then we create space. We create space for flow, because control is rooted in fear and flow is rooted in trust. And so breathwork comes in here again, because it allows us to get to the subconscious and it allows our body to say, even though I'm not in control, I'm safe and I can let go of things that no longer serve us. Number four is called, the fourth law of detachment is called solutions will emerge. Most of us are operating in a in survival mode. We're always in sympathetic. We're always in flight and fight. But in that survival mode, our higher functions are dimmed, right? We don't have any intuition. We don't have much creativity. It's when we're still. It's when we're with ourselves in our subconscious space that we can be quiet. And that's where creativity comes. That's where insight comes. That's where higher functioning comes into play. And that's where your answers will come to you. You know, a lot of people that do a lot of meditation and breath work, they call this downloads, right? When we get into the subconscious space, we can ask the universe whatever we want, questions, or we can project what our future needs to be. And that's when things will come to us. So that's number four. Number five will be uncertainty is reality. And that's one that most people strongly resist. Because when we're trying to create control and certainty, we know what's coming, right? But when we let go and we are in a space or realm of uncertainty, then there's infinite potential. Think about it. Uncertainty means infinite potential, right? And that's really where we want to be. And with breathwork again, we learning on how to be safe in the unknown, in a face of uncertainty. And when we can allow us to do this, that's where there's an infinite potential. That's where we can change ourselves. That's where we can feel free, connect with higher self, you know, create abundance or whatever it is that you want to do. And the last law of detachment is called embrace it. And with embrace it, it means embrace all of it. And all of it means all the mess, all the magic, all the mystery. So we need to embrace and welcome life as it is, not as we want it to be. And so that's where all of the gratefulness comes in, right? Being grateful for everything as it is right now and accept it. Again, letting go of that control, accepting the flow. And if we can do that, we actually, as humans, stop reacting from survival and we start responding from soul. And that's what true embodiment means. That's what expansion means. That's consciousness in motion. And so those are the six laws of detachment. And if we can detach ourselves, right, stop the control, get into the flow, accept life as it is and be grateful and find our authentic self, that's where we can drastically raise our level of consciousness. So that's how that all fits in, Courtney.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I know, like, when I'm working with my clients, I mean, I can't wait to hear more about breath work and 90 breath work. I can't wait to dive into that. But I feel like when I talk to my clients in the capacity that I know how to help them now, a lot of times it does focus, we focus on gratitude and gratitude journaling, and you can't be anxious if you're grateful for something. So really, like you said, trying to tell people to keep that presence and to whatever it is, even if it's a day where it's just that you are living with a house and with a roof over your head and that you have, you know, a healthy child or whatever, if it's just embracing the things that you just take for granted every day and really dive in deep and search, it's there, and it's taking it to that next level. And also, you know, that living in fear, that living in fight or flight, I always say to people too, you know, we know that in 2025, our bodies don't know the difference between being chased by a bear and just trying to wear the hats of family life balance and all of these things that are thrown at us in our environment and acceptance and you know, all the things that you were just talking about, where we have to, you know, where there's judgment and there's everybody gets compartmentalized and it's not accepting people and loving people. And it's almost like takes it back to that, like, rent it when it rains, it pours kind of mentality, right? It's like, it's if you're giving off the energy of, oh, this stinks, shaves, whatever, everything's blah, it's that comes back to you truly. Like when you raise that energy, when you raise your frequency and you dive in deep and say, okay, I'm going to take the good things today. Yes, there might be, you know, however many things going wrong. The other morning I got up and it was like five things at once before I even left the room. I was like, all right, the dog had an accident. I walked in the bathroom. There's a huge spider on the ceiling. I'm like, really? I'm like, I did my gratitude right before I got out of bed. I'm like, it's going to be a great day. And then I was like, nope, center it in. I'm like, you're not going to go there. It's not going to be negative. But really, like you said, like raising that awareness of taking a stop, taking a pause when things seem like, okay, you know, the proverbial poop's hitting the fan, like everybody just pause, take a second to ground yourself, look at your surroundings, be aware of what's going on, you know, looking at the things that are right in front of you that are to be grateful for and being aware of them and living in the moment. But comes the part that's hard, you know, when somebody has maybe debilitating anxiety, or maybe they're in this negative place, you know, what are the techniques? Like, I know you do this 90 breath work and I want to learn, like, I always go with like box breathing with my clients, or like just telling them to just take a pause, a deep breath, just, you know, never underestimate the power of that breath, because it can help shift things so much, right?
Yeah, it does. And you brought up so many awesome things. First of all, when you said, you know, negative thinking, you know, we have this energy field. It's called a toroidal field. And this is quantum physics. This is science. This is not woo-hoo. This is actually science. It's been measured. So when we put a negative thought out there, right, it must come back to us. It's like a ripple that goes out into the lake. It's a law. It comes back to us. So if you have negative thinking, if you talk bad about yourself, if you gossip all day long, you're going to have a miserable life and you're going to be struggling. It's the way it is. And we're thinking day and night, right? So, but we just go with the emotions and we're almost thinking the same things every single day. That's why that's our life doesn't change. So we need to become the observer of our thoughts. We need to step back and say, okay, what was I thinking? And then we need to not judge that thought, but we got to say, okay, that was negative. That was not nice to myself, whatever it was, without judging it, reframing it and rewiring. And that's what you do at the subconscious level, right? Because your intentions may be good, but if your subconscious mind and your conscious and your subconscious might not align, your subconscious is always going to override your conscious, because your subconscious mind is responsible for 95% of more of the person you are, your habits, because it runs those survival loops and those things that you took as a belief, which each and every trauma in your life, you created a belief upon the trauma, and it's running in the background and you don't even realize it. So your subconscious is always going to override. So no matter what your intentions are, is, for example, this is a great example so people understand. You know, I want to make more money. I want to be financially independent. I'm tired of this. I'm going to work two jobs. I'm going to push harder. I'm going to do more. And you, that may be your intention. But if your subconscious mind is wired with, quote, money is evil, because that's what your dad said at the breakfast or dinner table when you were growing up, and you don't even realize it, you can push as hard as you want. You may make more money, but you're going to lose it all too, because you're not at the level of, you're not at that frequency to manage that money. Your subconscious is always going to override it. And that's the frustrating part. So as long as you start understanding this, then you need to go rewrite that script, right? And so that's what we can do with breathwork and nervous system reset. The other thing you said is fear. We're operating out of fear, and that's exactly right. We're never present in the moment. It's always about projecting in the future, and it's always about, we're anxious achievers instead of, you know, creative awakeners or awakened creators, which we used to be in Asian civilization. And so we're not present in the moment anymore. Our pineal gland is totally muffled. We're not connecting anymore. There's no intuition. There's no higher thinking, because we're in survival mode. We're still running from those Bengal tiger. And that trauma happened 10 years ago, and we're still running, right? So, and that's because emotion's supposed to pass through our body. If anybody remembers watching a documentary on animals, you know, on History or National Geographic, when the antelope barely escapes its life from the tiger or the lion, and if you look at the antelope, the first thing it does, it shakes, it trembles. And then after it trembles for a few seconds, it starts grazing grass as if nothing ever happens. And that's how
it's supposed
to. Yeah, shake it off. That's called somatic relief, soma body, somatic release. But we humans, we kind of hold on to the emotion that's attached to that memory. And that emotion now, you know, basically creates a survival pattern. And so that's where all the triggers and everything else comes in those attachment styles that we talked about. But those emotions, they don't serve us in our present life, in our future. So we need to get rid of those emotions. And in modern, you know, in our modern society, we go to psychiatrists or talk therapy. Those things, 9 out of 10, never work, because we're reliving and reinforcing our addiction to that emotion. So it makes things work. We're reinforcing it. So what we need to do is somatic release, which we can do to nervous system and breath work, somatic breathing. So we don't have to relive the experience. We need to let the emotion that's attached to that memory, we need to let it go. Because a memory without the emotion is wisdom. A memory with the emotion is toxicity. It's not going to surface, right? So that's where breathwork comes in. It's releasing those emotions that are attached. Because Bob Proctor also said very intelligently, both fear and faith depend on us believing in something we can't see. The choice is yours, right? So we got to get out of that fear mode, sympathetic mode, and go into the faith more. Is that flow? Is no control? Is let it be, accept the way it is? And that's when everything heals. That's when everything comes to us. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that you mentioned, the sympathetic, right? Flight, fight. So animals cannot control that, but we humans, we can, with very simple tools, nervous system reset tools, but also our breath. Anytime we want to, we can get from sympathetic to parasympathetic in just a few seconds, right? So we need to get out of that flight or fight into a rest, digest, and healing mode, which is our parasympathetic mode. So, yeah, what I do today is breathing. Our breath is the most important tool that we have. It's free. We have it always with us. So we can use it for many different applications. Number one, I would say if we learn to breathe properly, we will live much longer, we will perform much better, and we will be much healthier because most of us don't know how to breathe properly. We're mouth breathers, right? Most of us. And so the mouth is to eat and speak, but it's not designed to breathe. The nose in the middle of our face is designed to breathe because if we're breathing through the nose, we capture the nitric oxide that's sitting in our sinus cavity, which is a dilator, which forces the oxygen deeper into our lower lobes of lungs, into our tissues and our cells. And so, in my opinion, and some of the top breath workers in the world, a normal breath should be 5 counts in through the nose, capturing the nitric oxide, and 6 counts out through the nose. Now, that's something you guys can start practicing immediately, whenever you want to. If you're brave, you can tape your mouth during the night or when you exercise, or when you exercise this, and it kind of forces you to breathe in through and out through the nose. But think about this. If we would do that, we only would take about 5.5 breaths per minute. Right now, most people are taking 60 to 20 breaths per minute. So we would increase the efficiency of our oxygen by 300%, maybe the number one biohack. The other thing that we need to do, or we can do, is increase our CO2 tolerance. What that means is most people think that oxygen is the most important molecule for us to live, and I beg to differ. It's actually CO2 because it doesn't matter how much oxygen we inhale, our cells need CO2 to exchange the oxygen from the hemoglobin in order for the oxygen to be absorbed in our cells. So if we don't have the CO2, this oxygen is wasted, right? So we need to increase our CO2 tolerance. Basically, what it means is the longer you can hold your breath and be comfortable with it, the more CO2 tolerant your body is. So we can exercise that with breath work. It's holding our breath after an exhale, or box breathing and all those types of things. So if we learn to breathe properly and increase our CO tolerance, we will be much healthier, we will live longer, and we will perform better. So that's number one. Number two, like we mentioned, we can use our breath to go from sympathetic to parasympathetic, regulate our nervous system, and you're big on that. And we can do that with several tools, but breath is an easy tool because all we need to do, guys, is make our exhale longer than our inhale. So you're in a traffic situation, you get mad, or your boss said something that you didn't appreciate. Walk to the restroom and you only need a few breaths. You breathe in, for example. 3 counts in through the nose and 5 counts out through the mouth. Or you can do nose, nose, mouth, mouth. It doesn't matter. As long as your exhale is longer than your inhale. If you do that a few times, and research shows this, you go from sympathetic, increased heart rate, release of cortisol, adrenaline, to parasympathetic, meaning lower heart rate, being at ease, being at rest, not running from that Bengal tiger anymore. Just a few breaths, exhale longer than inhale. That's your tool from breath work. So we can regulate our nervous system, right, with breath work. Number three, we can release emotions, right, on a somatic level without reliving it, without talk therapy. Talk therapy is top-down therapy, not suggested or recommended by me. What we want to do is get into a subconscious space, activate with our breath, bring the emotions to the surface, and let them go. And we not need to relive it. We can have a memory, but without the emotions, it's wisdom. And then the fourth and most important application, I guess, is you will be able to put your ego aside and access your subconscious mind with breath work. And at the subconscious level, we can rewire, right? Is that's what we're saying, because we need to align conscious with subconscious. That's where we can rewire those survival loops and those software that's been running in the background, dictating on what we can and cannot do, all those limiting beliefs. We can rewrite, we can take that software, we can deinstall it and install new software, but you only can do that at the subconscious mind. At the conscious level, your ego will try to prevent to do anything you want to do because your ego is comfortable in the comfort zone. Your ego lacks a familiar identity, even though that identity may be a big struggle, right? So we need to put the ego aside and sink deeper in the subconscious mind and align it with the conscious mind. So we can do that at the subconscious level. What we also can do at the subconscious level is create our future any way we want it, whether it's about your emotions, about your business, about being abundant, about feeling free, or whatever it is. This is the time to put it out there in the universe, because this is where you're gonna get where you, if you heard about manifestation, that's where you want to do it. Because if you just read affirmations, And I usually use the example of praying to a lot of people pray, right? When they believe in God. Those words won't give you any results. They will not be received by your God or by source unless the words you speak, you also believe.
Yes.
Meaning, again, your consciousness needs to be aligned with your subconscious. If your subconscious is still believing something else, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, money is evil, then that word that goes out carries no value because you don't believe it. So first of all, your conscious subconscious need to be aligned, and then there needs to be an emotion behind it. Because without the emotion, there's no frequency, there's no ripple going out. So once you say something that you truly believe and you put an emotion behind it, it will and has to come back to you. And that's kind of the law of attraction in a little bit more detail, because it's the only way it's going to work at that subconscious level, right? And that's why it's also important to learn visualization, because your subconscious mind accepts all information that comes to you, words, intentions, emotions, habits, and images. But it doesn't judge your subconscious mind, it just accepts. And it cannot distinguish between what's real and what you imagine. So if you're in your subconscious mind and you imagine your future, you're being free, you're being happy, you're being abundant, having enough money even, if you imagine that, right, and you have a feeling behind it, like how does it feel? That's when you're doing the real job of manifestation, and that's when you're creating your future. So that's the fourth part. If you can go to that subconscious, you can rewire and put new hard drive, new software in there, and you can create your future. We can all do all of that with breathwork. And then your last question was, what is 90 breathwork? I've been doing breathwork for years, and it takes practice, especially to get to that subconscious and do what you need to do. So recently, I stumbled upon 90 breathwork. So now it makes things much easier, in my opinion. And that's why I'm doing this with my clients, because they don't need years of practice in order to accomplish this. Many times in one session, they create that awareness and they're able to access that subconscious. And now they are aware, and now they want more, right? So what is 90? Basically, what we do is we have headphones on, and it's an auditory experience. It's multi-level and auditory experience. We have frequencies, we have world-class music, we have binaural beats, we have NLP, we have hypnotic sounds, we have affirmations. And so it becomes fun to do at the same time, because you have this Disney experience when it comes to audio. And at the same time, all these individual frequencies have been proving to facilitate somebody to get into that subconscious mind. So by combining this with the breath work, you can get to that space faster and deeper. And so that's why I love it, because people usually, when they try something two or three times and they don't feel or have a result, they give up. I've done that in the past with meditation. So this, with my clients, in one or two sessions, they actually it changes them. They understand it. They create awareness. They feel something. They let an emotion go, whether that's grief or loss from somebody they never went through the whole, release or whatever it may be, childhood trauma, generational trauma. We can keep on going. When they feel that, they know it's real. And when it's real, they want to do more. And that's how I think 90 breathwork is a great tool to get started to feel, your body, and not suppress it with your monkey mind.
I think that's amazing because I know a lot of times I can't wait to dive in more and learn more and experience it. I can't wait because I know myself, I sometimes get in my own way with meditation and prayer myself where I am, it's the consciousness of, okay, is it a worthy thing? Is it a what is blocking my energy that I'm thinking I'm not worthy of this relationship or this amount of money or, whatever it is that I'm in my own way from? And I notice a lot with my clients as well. And it's so crazy how we hold on to these different thoughts. Like you said, was it at the dinner table when we were kids, something our parents said, something as little as that, that our body, that our tissue, our fascia is holding onto. I see it all the time when I start to take my clients through detox and, whether we run labs and we see that they have something in their body, whether it's mold or metals or glyphosate or something that they're holding onto, and we start to use binders or things to get rid of whatever infection or virus that's going on in their body. And a lot of times, the people who have the dysregulated nervous systems, the people who are holding on to these emotions, these very, very deep childhood wounds, thoughts, whatever it is, their detox is actually so much heavier than somebody that's like, it actually physically presents like a Herxheimer reaction. For those of you that don't know what that is, when you're having a reaction, your body actually can get sick from something and actually have a quote unquote detox, where you might feel like you have the flu, you might have more anxiety, you might have a headache, you might feel fatigue. And the people that have the dysregulated nervous system, sometimes, I mean, like they're out for the count, like they have the flu. And it's like they're holding on to these, it's almost like they're detoxing this from their tissues of these emotions as well. But it's almost like it's throwing them for a loop because they don't know why. They're not in touch with these wounds. They're not in touch with, well, let me take this to a deeper level. What am I really holding on to? Which I think is so powerful. I think this is such a great thing to bring to any and all people, because let's face it, like you said, we all struggle with our own things, whether it's something recent, whether it's childhood stuff. We all hold on to these things sometimes that they're subconscious. We don't even know, that we are sometimes feeling unworthy in a relationship, and oh, that mean girl on the playground from, third grade, and why do I feel unworthy to do this, or walk in front of us, give a speech in front of a room full of people, or these beliefs that we have. It's almost silly, but really being present and getting in touch with that subconscious, I think is, oh, it's just so powerful. I can't wait to dive into this. I'm super excited. So can the listeners, for those who aren't local, where, if you have in person, where are you located? We'll have everything in the show notes too. But for people that are virtual, are they able to participate in the 9D breath work as well? How can they do that?
Yes, so I'm in Florida, so we do live workshops, in-person workshops, and journeys, of course. So sometimes we travel. I'm going to be in Illinois this weekend, and I'm going to try to go to Europe. So we have live events. We can always check where we are in case you are close. But we decided that in order to reach a lot of people, we need to make it convenient. So yes, we do Zoom journeys. So all you need is a computer and your noise canceling headphones, and so you can join us on a Zoom where you're in your own environment, and we can get to the, you through this 9D breathwork experience. However, if you are a beginner, if you never did breathwork before, we like to have you do the workshop live or online first, because the workshop gives you the big picture. It talks all about the things we talked about today, Courtney, but at the same time, it gives you all the tools, and you can practice all the tools you need for a successful journey, like visualization, get a little bit of meditation, the right breath that we're going to use during the journey, nervous system regulation we talked about. So you can practice the tool. And so we do live workshops, which are one-day workshops, and online you can just purchase it and do it at your own time. It's only 3 hours. You can do it on your own time. And once you do that 3-hour online or live workshop, now you're ready for your journey. And then you can do a journey in person or see when the next one online is. And we got many different teams and many different journeys, but it doesn't matter which one's coming up, just do it, because something will happen. Your body will bring something up, and something will need to let go. And you start your journey with the 90 journey. So yes, check it out. My website is limitlesslab.life, with a V, limitlesslab.life. And that's where you can learn more about the 90 breathwork. There's also samples that you can just play, use your headphones, so you can experience already a 5 and 10 minute activation for free. We have the calendar of all the online events and the live events, so check it out. Yeah.
I love it. I'm checking it out for sure. I'm going to do it virtually, but I think I need to make a trip to Florida because I want to do a workshop. I want to do a journey. I really want to bring this not only to myself, but I really think that I want to join you in helping people because, we set out to do this work and we really truly want to help people. And, one session, like, wow, that's amazing. Like, what did you tell me before the session about somebody after one session? What happened?
Well, emotional release myself too, I had to work for a little bit harder because I didn't have the 9D, but I don't put any expectations. And when I prepare people for a journey, there's no expectations. Your body's gonna bring something to the surface and let go, but you're not gonna relive anything like with talk therapy. You may get a picture. Your body may tell you what the emotion is about. It may not, because it's not reliving. So the first time I had an emotional release, a big emotional release, I've been doing breath work for a while, and sometimes there's a release. A release may be crying, laughing, and people are just peaceful. Everybody reacts differently. Or you just want to do something with your body, right? Just let go or scream, whatever it may be. So it's different for everybody, but sometimes the release is delayed. It's not during the breath work, it's a few days later. So in my case, in the middle of the night, 3:30, I remember a Thursday, I get this pain in my back and my hip, and I don't have any physical issues. And I'm going like, what is this? And then I say, oh, emotional release. And so it took me a few hours to get through that, but I got a picture of my brother who died in a car accident in 1997. He was 24. And me, I don't have any emotional tools. I didn't get those from my parents. My parents didn't get it from their parents, right? It's one of those things. So I never even cried, I mean, yeah, it was sad and blah, 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 but I didn't know how to deal with that. And so that picture came up and I had to release it and I had to cry and sit there for hours. But when it was done, guess what? There was no pain anymore. And that's when I realized the theory that we're preaching here, Courtney, when you experience it, oh my God, this is so true. And I can explain it better because people say, oh, emotion is stuck in the tissue. Yeah, it's stuck in the tissue. And you know what it feels when you release it? It's like you were carrying a backpack of 50 pounds and you didn't even realize it. And that was just one emotion. And there's many more layers to peel. I always say to my clients, it's like an onion. You peel one layer, you feel lighter, you feel better, your nervous system recalibrates, and you're a better person. You got a higher awareness. You judge less, you control less, you just peel, and then you go for the next peel, and you just raise that consciousness, and you become a much freer person, a much more aware person, somebody who can regulate their nervous system, doesn't react, sees everything as a collective. And so you just raise that consciousness, and that's what we're doing, and that's. I'm gonna go today at 6 o'clock. We got a whole class full, and I love it because it's really helping people. Yes, we can detox people, we can give them a natural supplement, and that's good too, to a certain extent, but this is life-changing. And so I love to do it at the same time, help people.
I love it. And as you're going through this and telling your experience, I hold a lot of my emotions in my pelvic area, and I've had endometriosis since I was in my teens and have had multiple surgeries and fertility issues and so many things. And it's funny that whenever I have body work done and massage, and even I've had a Thai massage recently, and it's so amazing. Like you said, like it might not even be that day, but that week, sometimes I find myself bursting into tears over something, and that release comes, and it's like out of nowhere, out of absolute nowhere. But I know that's where I hold a lot of my emotion and pain, and it's not, it's been an ongoing thing, and it's like I always know that I need to kind of give myself a check-in of, are you doing the work, the mental, the physical work, getting your nervous system under control? Because sometimes in the fight or flight busy lives we're living, I tend to sometimes shelf it and be like, well, I'm busy. I don't have time for this. And it shows when I don't. And putting the work in and raising my consciousness to that level and saying, okay, stop, breathe, pause. It's amazing what you can absolutely release. One more question I have for you. When people are doing 90 breath work, is it like, are people completely aware of what's going on? Are they, is there like, I don't know the word hypnosis. Like, are people awake and aware, or are they kind of in a different
Very
zone?
good. So even though it guides, it's a journey, and all the auditory, all the frequencies is synchronized perfectly with the breath work, and everything is coordinated to get you to an activation and a release. And it's a beautiful symphony that you're going to hear, right? But you're always 100% in control. You are driving, the car, and there's the gas pedal and the brake. And we explain that before the journey. We explain it in the workshop. So you're always in control, right? We want you to go in your body and put that monkey mind aside, right? So when people get uncomfortable, we basically tell them that's when you're almost there. That's when we want you to lean in and open that door, because on the other side, you're going to be a new person. But if your body's telling you, no, not today, that's okay. Then you go to what we call a reset breath, and we teach you what that is. So maybe not today, maybe another time. So you are 100% in control. You can stop anytime. You're never in a hypnotic state. No, that's not it. What we want you to go is get into your subconscious, right? And turn off that monkey mind that filters everything, and that is, neuroscience just showed that 50% of the stories that we tell is made up, right? Because our front brain, which is our discussion, our reasoning, does not communicate with our limbic system, which stores our emotions. There's no communication. So we tell stories that we believe 100%, but those stories are 50% made up, right? And so the unfortunate thing is that most of us, when we tell those stories, we're reliving a life that we didn't even have, just to reaffirm our addiction to that emotion. That's how sad it is, right? If you look at it. So no, to answer your question, you're 100% in control. And when I tell people, when you're finally there, when you need to decide, I'm going to lean in and keep breathing and push through this door and let go, or I'm going to go on the brake, don't make that decision with your mind. Just ask yourself when you're in your mind, how is my body feeling? My body feels goddamn fine. Then lean in and do this. You're here. You put in all the breath work, because breath work is work. Put in, just go through the door now, right? But if your body gives you signs, no, that's okay. There's no judgment. Again, it may come a few days later, or maybe it's for another time. So there's no expectations. You just go, but you are in control. Yes.
That's awesome. All right. I'm so excited for this. For all of our listeners, I will have all the information in the show notes. How to contact Dr. Mike, get in touch, or the link to your workshops, your website. We'll have all that on the show notes. And I'm really looking forward to this. I'm so excited, and I appreciate you for all of your awesome knowledge, as always.
Thank you for having me, Courtney. This is a teamwork, right? We can't get this to the people if you wouldn't take out the time. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. The work that we're doing is good stuff, right?
Yeah, great stuff.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a five-star review if anything in this show spoke to you, or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.